Hey friends, Devin back again for another episode of the Bardic Babble Podcast, the show where we talk to creators about the things that they create. On today's episode, we are keeping one foot firmly planted in live streaming, but we're pivoting on over to caffeine.tv. We're talking to one of the highest quality produced Dungeons & Dragons actual play shows I have ever seen. Personally, I think is available on the market. We're chatting with Jeff and Morgan of The Dungeon Run. We dive into the process creatively and technically, the tools that they're implementing, everything from animatronics to virtual reality. Yes, they go that far. It's incredible. It's insane. It's Hollywood. And I can't wait to share it with you all. But first, as always, we are going to take a small sponsor break, talk through those real fast, and then we will be back with it. And also be sure to head on over to Twitter and follow the show at Bardic Babble Pod. Keep up to date on new shows, episode drops, and future guests. All right, we're going to take that quick break and be back with Jeff and Morgan of The Dungeon Run. Welcome back, listeners. Today, I am joined by Jeff and Morgan of The Dungeon Run over on Caffeine. Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Doing well.
Yeah, doing all right. It's a complicated question in 2020. How are you doing? But no, all things considered, doing all right.
that's awesome to hear. All right, so just to kind of dive right into it, Jeff, since you are the DM on the show, do you want to just give a quick synopsis? What is Dungeon Run? What is Caffeine? And just kind of run us through the bullet points.
Sure. The Dungeon Run is our live play Dungeons & Dragons show that we've been doing well over a year now on Caffeine. Caffeine is a streaming service, sort of similar to Twitch, but it is all in real time. And so one of the benefits that affords us is the ability to incorporate player and audience interaction in real time. So we can have direct impact on the story as we're playing the game live. And we're trying to create as close to a television level experience as we can. We're a little hamstrung lately because of quarantine and COVID, but I think even with having to be isolated and record from our houses, we've done some extraordinary things. And The Dungeon really is the dream D&D project for me. We got a Hollywood level crew. We have TV producers and designers creating props and set pieces and helping to tell our story in really incredible ways. And since we've been in quarantine, we've had this amazing virtual visualization of our table that is done with proprietary software in a virtual reality environment. It's actually incredible what they're pulling off. And so it's a chance for five players to go through this story that we're crafting together that has all the thrills and chills that you can expect from any kind of high fantasy adventure. It's family friendly in the sense that we don't use curse words and we try to keep everything basically PG-13. But that doesn't mean we miss out on any action or intrigue. And there's even romance. Two of the characters on the show are having an ongoing romance. There's a bit of a love triangle, in fact. And I'm very proud of it. I think Morgan would agree that we're very proud of the thing we've been making for over a year now. And I think it's a story that even anyone that has never experienced Dungeons & Dragons before can really enjoy and have a lot of fun with.
Yeah, I came into this show as an experienced player of Dungeons and Dragons. I'm a fan of RPGs, and I'm an actor, professional actor and producer as well. But I came into this as an audition and not really knowing what I was signing up for, but liking the team, as Jeff said, and kind of seeing what they were trying for, which from its inception really felt like trying to be a more cinematic version of your usual live play show. And that idea really intrigued me, and it's turned into, as Jeff said, this thing I'm incredibly proud of. The community that's community and the fans that have risen up around the show are incredibly flattering. It's some of the most rewarding work I've ever done, and it's kind of an actor's dream. I've now gotten to play my human warlock James for over 200 hours, which is nuts when I think about it. You know, I've done a lot of theater and television and movies and commercials. I've never gotten anywhere near anything like that. I mean, people who are like on Grey's Anatomy for 15 years don't get that.
Right. You know?
so it really is kind of the role player's dream to continue this. Because, you know, you get to do it in your home games as well, but also like being able to do, we just did our 65th episode of our main campaign, and every week being able to come back to that and build these characters and build this world with Jeff, with my other castmates. It's turned into a dream gig by all accounts.
That's awesome. All right. So a lot to just kind of bullet out and unpack there. So everybody on the cast is a professional actor or actress by trade, correct?
Yes,
that's correct.
And then Jeff, specifically, why D&D? Why live streaming? Like, what turned you and the team onto this?
Well, I love it. I mean, I think it's an extraordinary game. And Alex Albrecht, who created the show at Caffeine, and I are longtime friends. We did a show for many years called The Totally Rad Show. That was really one of the first video podcasts ever. And for a long, long time, I mean, the way he and I met originally, the way he and I and Dan Trachtenberg, who created The Totally Rad Show together, all met was playing Dungeons and Dragons. So it's something that's near and dear to our heart. And we've been wanting to make a sort of our dream version of Dungeons and Dragons for a long time. What if we could do the tabletop experience, but do it, as Morgan said, cinematic, do it with big props and cool camera moves and a big, awesome set and hand pick the people and players to bring it to life. Most of the live play shows you see out there, and there are a lot of excellent ones, but most of them are established groups of friends who are now streaming their game to the world. And there's a lot of joy in that. I certainly am a fan of many of those kinds of shows. We wanted to do something a little bit different. Rather than having a group of people that already knew each other and were friends, and we were just sort of presenting our friendship to the world, which is cool, we wanted to create something that chose the perfect person for the story, the perfect person to bring to life a character and put all these people together. And the awesome thing is we not only got fantastic actors, fantastic role players, fantastic D&D, imaginative human beings, we also got just great people. And the show has actually been this journey of our friendship in real life as well. And you get to be along for that ride over the course of, you know, having met each other just a couple of weeks before we started the first episode to being, I think, a very close group of people that all really love each other. And that has been really fun too. But it made the creation of the show really exciting and really interesting because we got to really go for the best of the best and get a group of people that I think all bring something unique and awesome to the table, literally.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, Jeff brings up a really interesting point. The show is sort of a testament to the friendship building power of tabletop right? and RPGs because, yeah, I on our first episode, if you watch our first episode, at that point, I have known Jeff for 2 weeks. Wow. And it is and we did a session zero, which was a couple hours that was not filmed. And we did a callback, which was like 30 minutes.
And we had like two dinners and that was it.
Yeah, we were like, we all at the top, we were like, we're going to get more time, right? We're going to get more time. But as is the nature with filming schedules, you never get as much time as you think. Right. So we all dove in head first, just kind of like, okay, trust. And it was from the get-go, it was like patience and trust. I just met you, but I trust right. you. And here we go. And we've been rewarded, so completely rewarded. And there was, yeah, some feeling out of, feeling out of each other's rhythms, but it helps that almost all of us have a little bit of an improv background, you know, as actors or anything like that. And so there is kind of that yes-anding and which becomes so, you know, so integral to playing with each other and having a healthy table where people are communicating and building, doing that collaborative storytelling. That's the real good stuff.
Gotcha.
And you asked about, you know, why D&D. I think people who play D&D know the answer to that question, but I think anybody listening that maybe hasn't played or doesn't really understand what the game is, or is perhaps even intimidated by the idea of these rules that are dense and full of math and all these things, I think people can feel like, what is it? Why D&D? What are you doing? You're rolling a bunch of dice. You're adding numbers together. But truly, at its core, Dungeons and Dragons is a storytelling tool. Yeah. It is a method to create fun stories with your friends. It is a method. It is a structure upon which you layer imagination. Right. And really, that's the fun. That's why D&D. It's because it's just a tool set that facilitates telling a fun story and living through that story with like-minded folks. And that's what's so fun about it. I mean, Dungeons and Dragons is one of many of these kinds of experiences, but we are creating serialized improvised storytelling, which is it's a blast. It's so much fun.
It's very cool. So my listeners are pretty tuned into live streaming. We've done a couple of interviews with other content creators over on Twitch specifically.
Sure.
So how has it been working with Caffeine? I believe they just signed Drake this year to the platform. So it's definitely on its rise. How has it been working with Caffeine and the team?
You know, Drake after us.
Right. They went
first, then Drake, which is shows you where we rank, I think.
I am still waiting for those Toronto Raptors courtside seats. No, I'm kidding. Caffeine, I think, had the right frame of mind. Alex and Caffeine had the right frame of mind, and our producers, which is that we are aware that we were entering into a pretty crowded field of live stream shows, as you say. And I'm a fan of many of them. And so it was important to me, but it was also important to the team that... That we're doing something different. And so, and what, as Jeff said, what Caffeine kind of a benefit that Caffeine has is their even more elevated interactivity with the audience. The speed of the chat, the speed of the video is almost in real time. It's very, very close. And it's really impressive to see what we've been able to do with that. And it's been intimidating. I'll tell you from the start. I mean, it was Caffeine's credo from the start. Like, we want this to feel, we want the audience to feel like they're invested in the show. And I think one of the first things Jeff and I said to each other was like, that's terrifying. What if they break the show? And
Not just invested, but they have a hand in it. They push events. Yeah. They help craft the story on a very fundamental level. The audience is really involved. And I've said it many times, I feel like they're a sixth player.
Yeah.
And that is a little scary, but it is so fun.
And it brings that collaborative storytelling that we were talking about to an extra level where you have this, and we hear it from our fans all the time, which is like, it does give our show kind of an extra thing of just sort of like, I can look at that thing in the show and like we helped make that decision, right. like that, that happened. Like, NPCs who were going to live have died. NPCs who were going to die have lived. Entire side quests have been invented by the audience that Jeff, bless him, has found ways to interweave into this already epic storyline that we already have. It's at this point, it's countless the number of ways that the audience can look at, can point at little things and go like, I did that, or we did
that. That's very cool.
And, it is very cool. And it's, we've again, just kind of dove in hoping. And the other thing is that we've been from the start, been very flexible of like, we're figuring it out. And I think that was a key from the get-go, which was like, none of this is set in stone. We're going to be experimenting with things, trying things, adjusting things, tweaking things as we go. And that's been key because, I mean, the show has changed in so many little ways over time that has been, you know, you look back at episode one, it's like, wow, we grew so much out of that. Yeah.
That's awesome. So I actually have a background in live streaming. I worked at a talent management agency for a while. And one of the biggest things that we would always talk about is the next iteration of this whole thing is the interactivity, taking it deeper, taking it further. And it sounds like you guys not only knew that, but you implemented it way ahead of the game. So kudos. That's very cool. So now
it speaks to tabletop in general, which, I mean, I think we talk about this all the time. We are in such a VOD culture now that you can pick and pull and stream and do whatever you want at any time. So the live experience, whether it's watching a sports game, watching the Dungeon Run on Wednesday nights, or just playing a board game with your friends with a bottle of wine or something like that, those live, unrecreatable experiences become more valuable. And that's what we've been trying to do. And I think with some success, which is great.
Totally agree. So now, just to kind of piggyback on that and the interactivity at the same time, I want to just visually, mentally map out your set, both in person and digitally. I mean, we've got huge set pieces. We have, what's his name? Lord Araban? Am I right?
Araban, yeah.
Araban, yes.
Yeah. I mean,
the mind
you guys player. Are doing some incredible things that I mean, just caught my attention the first time I saw. So can we just speak a little life into the physical set, and then we'll transition to the digital, that proprietary software we spoke on?
Sure. So we were live for 39 episodes. I mean, we are live now. I'm sorry. We were all in the same room on a set for 39 episodes. And then we've been remote for the last 26.
Thanks, COVID.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, COVID. Thank you for that. But yeah, and we were in a studio in Burbank with an amazing set. And Lord Araban, our host, who still hosts the show, is an animatronic Mind Flayer puppet made by some of the people who made the puppets for the Netflix Dark Crystal series. Like, again, when Jeff talks about, Hollywood crew and Hollywood production people behind this, like, that's the kind of level we're talking about. And yeah, and so we got to play on this dream set with how many cameras? 15?
Yeah, I think it was something like
15 cameras. Yeah.
Like, and on a jib. And cameras. I mean, we had, swooping crane moves and all kinds of specialty cameras and all these cool models too. So, little models that we got to put our minis on. It was wonderful.
I never got the chance because obviously I was sitting at the table playing, but the director and the team in the control room were literally live cutting like we were the Oscars, because you go like, okay, go to camera 13, go to camera 2 for Morgan's reaction, go to, for all of this. All right, Jeff's speech here, so stay on him here. And then because I would love to have sat in through that, but of course I couldn't. There is parts of me that I'm just sitting at the table playing, and I am amazed at the show at the end of the week because of the live music, because we have two or three people like working on the music, like finding the music for the right moments in real time. Again,
that's incredible.
It makes watching this show for me after the fact cool too, because I'm like, oh, we did that. Neat.
It's a whole other experience, right?
Yeah,
it is incredible.
So Jeff, we mentioned that it's improv, but it sounds like there's a lot of hands in the pot on this. Like, how much notice ahead of time do you have? Do the directors have? Do you guys coordinate plot points like a week in advance for those camera movements and things like that, or is it just everybody's on the fly?
Camera movements, no. Camera movements are all done with an extraordinary crew in live. It's like a NFL game. Nobody knows that they're going to run the running play on the side, the sweep across the to the edge or throw the pass down the middle. They don't know what they're going to do, but they have to be ready in that moment to shoot it.
Catch it.
That's exactly how it works for us too. There's no planned camera moves, but that has been one of the big adjustments for me doing the show, is that because of this level of production that we've committed to for the show, and I think makes the show stand out. It makes the show really special. It does require more lead time than I would normally have in my living room playing with, Dungeons and Dragons with friends, right? You have to have some flexibility, because ultimately this is a story that is driven by the players and their decisions. But you also have these demands from production when you say, hey, we're going to make a very expensive model that looks extraordinary and takes weeks to make, I have to know weeks ahead of time what to build. And so I have to sit down and go, okay, well, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks from now, the team is going to be in this place. And I might not know how they're going to get there, but we're going to get there somehow. Or maybe, you know, there's been many times on our show where we rush to finish the model. This extraordinary model is sitting backstage with a tarp over it. Nobody has seen it except me and a few other production people, but the cast has no idea.
Yeah, they keep them from us, which is amazing. Yeah.
And it's sitting there. I'm like, okay, this is the day they're going to get on the ship and we have this amazing ship. And then the team goes, you know what? We're not going to the ship. We're going back to town, and we're in town for like 5 weeks, you know?
That was the crowd's fault. That was the audience was given the choice, and the audience is like, ship or city. And the audience is like, city.
I mean, and that's awesome, right? That is truly what you want in this kind of a situation. You want there to be agency. You want the players to be able to make choices and have those choices be meaningful, and the audience to influence those choices. That is all part of the soup, the formula that we're trying to put together here. But it also means that, you know, I have to go back to the model makers and be like, I'm sorry you stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning making that. We're not going to need it for several weeks.
But looks great.
It's amazing. it's been really fun though. And those things are a treat. And it does mean juggling a lot of things, but there's so many other creative people now that are influencing me and influencing the story and adding to things, you know, because of what's possible. We just had a situation. I don't even know if Morgan knows this exactly, but we just had a several weeks ago, there was an episode where the team had to descend into this cavern, and we're now doing virtual sets. As I mentioned, we're doing these VR built in VR sets, but I'm still, you know, with what we had been doing on the table was a 2D map that is printed out on big sheets of paper. I put it on the table. We move minis around it. It has squares and they look great. They're extraordinary. And I've still been using those in a virtual environment. We have them as a texture that is placed on a virtual table and they still look really cool. And there's 3D models that are all CG and moving around. Well, I had this idea for having the team descend vertically into this cavern. And I thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool because we're on a virtual set, I don't have to worry about physics of a real table. Wouldn't it be cool if we just moved the 2D map 90 degrees and stood it on its end and used it like as a backdrop for a descent instead of a table, horizontal table. And the team went, we could do that. Or we could build you a three-dimensional cavern for them to go down into. And I went, you can?
I'm sorry, what?
So they ended up building a fully 3D. It wasn't this 2D flat map that the team was moving down, you know, vertically. It had features, it had waterfalls, it had vegetation, flora and fauna. I mean, it was extraordinary.
You had like step platforms, like, you know, one would come out 10, 15 feet more than the other, or a few squares more than the other. Some of
them would crumble when they stood on them. I mean, it was like a dream come true. And this was all, you know, additive from that team. And so that's some of the benefit that I get from having all of these wonderful creative people who are all bringing their A game. You know, I have this little spark of an idea of like, hey, I want them to go vertically down a thing. And then they go, okay, I can +1, +1, +1 mm-hmm. to that. And now all of a sudden we've got this really exciting set piece where the team was fighting these bats and these creatures crawling up and down this cavern and having to deal with it all in three dimensions. And it made for a really exciting episode that was only a fraction of me coming up with it, but it's built on by all of these wonderful creative minds.
Oh man, makes me jealous of you, Morgan, being able to play in that. Dude,
that's the thing. And as just a player, I am so lucky because I just have to show up and play. but no, I get asked all the time. We get asked all the time, like, oh my God, the map room, our digital map room is so incredible. How? And I'm genuinely like, I want to know just as much as you do. I have no idea how they do that. And so we'll ask them we know some of them, but, and we'll ask them questions and be just as fascinated as the audience. Cause I'm like, how like did you manage the Ring of Fire? Like, we're level 8 now in the show, and so our wizard just cast a wall of fire for the first time in a circle, and it just showed up on the map, and we're like, like, well, that's incredible. What that's, you know, cool. It was, yeah, moments like that where like, I don't know how they do it. It just happens.
I mean, there's literally three people all in virtual reality headsets in a volume, picking up the little minis of the players and moving them around the map and setting off effects and controlling the environment in virtual reality. It's really cool. Nobody is doing anything like that except us.
No, you're right. That's insane. Like, just to think how high production value that is. So as we start looking towards a non-COVID future where you guys can get back into the studio, is there already conversations of blending the map room and the physical table?
The sad news is we're not close to that moment.
No, you're right.
So those conversations haven't really begun in earnest yet. I do think the show, when we get back to the, I'm going to say when, not if, I'm going to say when we get back to the studio, I do think the show will have to take into account what it has become in the interim, right? I think we will have learned so much about how the show can be in this other version that I think there'll be this third version of the show that takes our learnings. I hate that word, but our learnings from both of the iterations and creates something. And Morgan brought this up, and I will reiterate it. That has been one of the wonderful things about working with this production team and Caffeine in general, is their flexibility and willing to try things and not get stuck and mired in the way we've been doing things. It has been a dream to work on, because every single person is willing to throw out anything that doesn't work, try something new, and try it knowing that might not work, and we can throw that one out next week. It is an evolving, improving show. Every single week it gets better. And that's very rare, I have found in my career.
But I mean, we just, keeping the example of the NFL, you even look back 10 years and they were using actual markers to write on a screen. And now it's, they have a full simulated field. So you guys are staying pace with, again, the bleeding edge of what you can do with some of the technologies. And that's super cool.
I've said we're the NFL of D&D is what I'm saying. I'm just kidding. I'm tagging it.
Yes, that's right. And I have the body for it. No, just kidding. It really is. I pinch myself often in terms of not only how the show has grown, how what the response has been to it. I mean, just be able to, in real time, come up with these stories together as a group and then have them embraced and fleshed out and created sometimes from whole cloth in front of you is really a surreal experience that I constantly am grateful for.
Morgan's right to bring up our community. It is. Just an amazing group of people that have found our show and invested in it and do create art, create videos, create songs, participate with each other, lift them each other up. There's an entirely fan created weekly talkback show. In fact, it's tonight as we record this, every Tuesday night, they have a completely motivated, created, produced by the fans. It is very high quality. They bring each other on, even though they don't, it is really built into a beautiful place of positivity and just great folks. I love it.
It's also done something, I think, in terms of live streaming and interactivity, it's done something really interesting, which is that, this is my first, what I would call like, Jeff's been on the internet for a long time. That's not an insult. That is,
it's true. It's accurate.
Jeff, as he said, totally rad show. This is my first real internet content show, besides just movies, commercials, TV shows that show up on the internet, stuff like that. And I was warned. I was warned a lot about people on the internet, quote unquote, I have been so pleasantly surprised. And I have to think part of that is the interactive quotient. because I think we are with people and we are openly there with them. And there's not that screen of removal where people are like, that's not a human being. I can say anything I want about them. And whereas with us, it's a little bit more like, no, I'm an actual person and I see you there. And hey, thank you. Or, you know, it's like, you know, and we don't, it's not like we get in. There isn't a true, we don't interact with chat during the show. I don't watch chat while we're playing. I want to stay in the game, but chat does make things happen in the game. And so there is that interactive thing as well. But it's again, I just, in terms of this community, has been such an amazing surprise and has been one of the most rewarding parts of it. I mean, I was just saying this the other night, when you're doing a lot of on camera stuff, sometimes it can feel like you're just putting it out there into the void. And sometimes, you know, and you never know who sees it or who it affects or anything like that. And to have sometimes these real time reactions to something again that you just created is, oh God, yeah, it makes me weepy sometimes for sure.
So, Jeff, do you see chat as it's moving through the show?
No, I do see a level of interactivity that I see there's a layer of interactivity that the audience has on the game, and I see that. That is filtered through the production team and sent to me. But no,
he's,
I think
he's got enough to juggle. Right.
Yeah, I do. There's a lot going on in the show, but also I wouldn't want to be distracted by a bunch of chat or, you know, but it is wonderful. Like Morgan said, to have that community, the live experience is just awesome. The people who come and participate and influence the show and talk amongst themselves and create games amongst themselves. And, you know, it is really the best way. I mean, we're available on YouTube, video on demand. We're available as an audio podcast, which I think the show really works well, even as an audio podcast. We've been talking about all the visual elements, which are great, but even as an audio podcast, I think the show works like an audio book. And it's very enjoyable that way. So there's lots of ways to enjoy the show, but I do think the live experience, being there with those folks who are all adding a layer to what we are already doing, is the best.
So I guess my big question is, so do you get just like a prompt in an earpiece or on a screen that says, you know, hey, chat decided option A over B?
Correct. Yeah. When we were in the studio, I had an earpiece. We're not able to do that remotely, so it's all on my screen or texts on my phone. But I have a live update on my screen happening, getting directly from the caffeine feed. So I'm getting lots of information about what people are, you know, what people are saying, and that's one of the things that Lord Araban exists for, right? Lord Araban is this animatronic puppet that hosts the show, sort of like the Crypt Keeper, but also Lord Araban is in chat through the entire show, functioning as the voice of the show. He is the connection point for the audience, prompting them with questions, you know, responding to the things they say. So that doesn't have to be the Dungeon Master, right? That can be this other entity. And honestly, that was one of the, I think, genius ideas from Alex at the onset, was like, hey, we need to separate those two roles and have the Dungeon Master be the Dungeon Master and a host be a host, and not have to have the Dungeon Master worried about what's happening in chat throughout the whole show.
Well, it's brilliant. This Alex gentleman sounds like a mastermind. it's
hard. Yeah, don't tell him that. Don't tell him I said that.
He's okay. I mean, we love you, boss. No, just kidding.
I can imagine that is simultaneously exhilarating and frustrating to have a plot line in your head and movement in your head through the story, all of a sudden to have, like you mentioned, oh, we're going back to the city, and having to then pull page B of notes up.
Or we can talk about having to create an entire side quest on the fly when something like COVID happens.
Let's do that.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
talk about a hard right turn.
Yeah. I mean, what happened was the you know, we recorded episode 39, and during that recording, intermission of that recording, my wife, I always call my wife and say goodnight to my kids at intermission. My wife goes, honey, they canceled the NBA. And I went, what?
Whoa.
I was like, oh, COVID is real. Like, yeah. I mean, not that I didn't think it was real, but I was like, the world is changing right now. And that was one of those moments. I mean, we'd heard all these, it was really scary and there's lots of stuff and who knows what was going to happen. And the moment that I heard the NBA was canceling games, I was like, oh boy. And that happened during the recording of episode 39. We signed off episode 39 saying, hope we see it next week.
Oh,
and we heard in that week, no, everybody needs to quarantine. That's the world has changed. What are we going to do? So we did it 1 week of just kind of a hanging out, watch along, just sort of stalling, not knowing what we were going to do. And at that time we thought, okay, this quarantine is going to last 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks at the most.
If only.
So let's come up with something. I had this big idea that we'd been building up towards. Episode 39 was like the entrance of this huge idea that I'd literally been building towards for a year. And so I was like, hey, production, do me a favor. If we're going to have to do a virtual remote version of the show, can we do a side thing for a while? It's probably just going to be a couple of weeks. Maybe we can get, you know, one of the other players to DM and I can play, or we can do something different. And they said, sure, we'll respect that. But we think it might go on a little longer. So we don't want to start somebody else DMing. You DM, but come up with some other side thing to do. And I went, oh, okay, cool. And I asked the cast, like, what are there any fun things? And they were like, oh, it'd be cool to see like backstory or something of a character. And I went, oh, that's fun. And the one thing production, to their credit, at the time, I did not like this, but to their credit, the one thing they mandated was everybody has to play the same characters, right? We need to keep with our characters in our story. And I went, well, now we can't see backstory because we saw how all these characters met. So we can't do backstory. And then I thought, well, what if we do time travel? That can be fun. Just a couple of weeks of time travel. That way we can see the backstory of a different character and it can be kind of disguised as something else. And maybe we'll see the backstory of a villain that the team fought and we'll see how that all works. And I thought, okay, well, I have backstory in my head of this villain. That'll be fun. We'll go back in time and we'll see this villain. Well, I don't have to tell you that it wasn't over in 4 weeks. And that's what we're still in
it. And so, it's now so September.
That little idea. And honestly, and I should mention, really the impetus for all of the side quest thing was a viewer submitted idea.
Yeah.
A viewer submitted idea of there is this magical treasure that is waiting inside a place that was submitted by a viewer. It was a card. We give out cards on the show to the players. A card said, there's a magical treasure inside a special vault in one of these cities. And when that was introduced into the game, I had no idea what I was like, well, I'll pay that off at some point. I have no idea what it's going to be, but it'll be fun. It's a fun hook that the audience submitted. Well,
lo and behold,
in that time I went, okay, well, here's how we can start off. We can start off trying to find out what that treasure is in that vault and how it got there. We'll time travel back to find out how that treasure got in that vault and we'll find out what it is. And it'll be fun. It'll be the audience literally deciding how we do this COVID thing. And then of course that turned into 20 some odd episodes of this cool. It went from being a side quest to being absolutely vital to our story and having so much information that I thought I was going to introduce in other ways, introduced in this way. And it became this real opportunity for creativity, which is my roundabout way of answering your original question, which is, I'm sure anybody who's ever played Dungeons and Dragons and DM'd has a plan in their head. And you can be 100% sure that your players will do something you did not ever anticipate. Right? It will always happen that your players will come up with some idea that you will never anticipate. But that's the magic of this game. That's the magic of improvisation, is that those are gifts. It's not taking something away from your story. That's giving you an opportunity. Right. It's saying, here are these other creative minds that are adding to something that you would never have come up with. You know, that there are moments in the game where Morgan has said something to me and I've gone, wow. That I would never have thought of that, but that's going to create this incredible scene. And here we go. We're going to play it. And I jump in with him into the void, into not knowing. And together, because of trust and patience, as he said, we find it. And that, to me, is the magic of improv and the magic of Dungeons and Dragons.
Right. Well, and that's the shared collaborative storytelling of Dungeons and Dragons and other tabletop RPGs. You look at all these other shows and they might have interactivity elements, but including them as a cast member. And that's, I personally feel, has been the missing piece that a lot of these bigger, larger shows, they're missing, and they're not taking the time to cultivate it, develop it, integrate it into the show. So that, I mean, they practically saved the COVID line, and that's incredible to see in here.
It's scary. I mean, yeah, the interactivity part is, as I said, it was one of the first things I think Jeff and I said to each other when we sat down together. It was just sort of like, this is a little, yeah, it feels like playing without a net, right. You know? We've been rewarded so often. And yeah, Jeff's right. Sometimes they literally will create hooks for us, you know, or things like that. Or you'll find something that's like, boy, they responded so well to that NPC. Like, it's created legends out of just spur of the moment NPCs that had nothing to do with anything.
Right. You know? Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, I guess we need to go back and visit that guy. stuff like that. That's so much fun. And we've all kind of, we, the rest of the cast has bought in to that, and just, well, still, like, focusing on our characters and focusing on the relationships, but also just being game for everything thrown at us.
Sure. I'll give you another example. There is a god in our world.
That's right. I almost said this earlier.
Absolutely 100% by the audience. They deified her, named her, and I picked that up and ran with it. And now we have a player in our game who has multi-classed into Paladin. And that is his deity. Like, this deity that was created by the cast, by the audience, is now the deity of a Paladin player character in our game.
And the thing that Jeff hasn't said is that deity is one of our producers. Yeah. who works in the map room now. She is one of the three people doing.
She's awesome.
Doing the map room, Amanda. And she, how the story is that we had these kind of markers in the back of the set of candles, which is like when you get built up to enough candles, like something happens basically. And she was the person who, amongst many other things, brought out the candles. And so she was almost always visible, like often in the background of this woman bringing out candles. And so she became known as the Candle Queen in chat.
Oh, that's cool.
And
the chat would say, all hail the Candle Queen.
All hail the Candle Queen.
Yeah. And they invented that. They picked it up and ran with it. And so when it was time for deities to sort of play a part in our story, it just made sense that they had already started worshiping this character. So we brought it in.
She's in the pantheon now. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's really incredible when we track things back. It's like, how did that start? Oh my God. You know? Wow. Yeah.
So now, just kind of speaking to the more, contractual side of things, do you guys have like an anticipated end in sight, or are you guys contracted out for like, this is gonna be a 3-year show, 5-year show, or is it just run it?
God, I hope not. I hope we get to go forever.
honestly, I'll keep going forever. I mean we've said this before, the original idea of the show was 10 weeks, the response was so good to it that we knew pretty quickly, like before week 5, I think, that we were like, we're going to keep going. And with we're contracted to a certain point now, but like extensions are built in. So it's just kind of like, you know, and one of the other things that makes this such a dream job is, for me, the amount is, it does leave room for me to do commercials. I've done other commercials and TV shows and movies. I was producing a movie in Mississippi throughout all of February and was actually flying back to do the show because I didn't want to be remote, and I was able to make that happen. Awesome. So because at the end of the day, it is just, you know, while it may take some remote things, or especially now that we're remote, at the end of the day, the playing is just, you know, 4-6 hours out of our Wednesday night. So it does allow room for flexibility. Obviously, there's a bit more work in it for Jeff, who has to prep all the insanity that we do. But as a player, it's not hindering me from doing other things. So it's just sort of like, yes, let's do this forever. I love this. And this cast and this crew, I'm, you know, we're so close now. And so it's like, yeah, let's keep going.
But if the question is, will the story have an end? The answer is yes. This story, I hope, knock on wood, that we get a chance to end it in a very satisfying way. I have an idea. Obviously, it's going to have a lot to do with how the players make decisions and what happens between now and then. But the original idea was a 10 episode show with a beginning, middle, and end. And a lot has been added, a lot has been fleshed out, a lot has grown in the telling, but I definitely hope that we can have a very satisfying conclusion for these characters and this storyline.
It's awesome.
Someday, far from
right
now.
Right.
Next week. No, just kidding. God, no.
Knock on wood. Where is it? There it is.
I know, right? Knock on everything.
So just keep one foot in the shop talk. Do you run sponsors and everything on the show?
No sponsors. It's all through caffeine and and then they're replayed on YouTube on Friday mornings after our Wednesday night show.
Very cool.
Yep.
I know it's a toss up show to show, so I was a little curious on that.
Sure.
And then just another assumption that I've made, is everybody on the cast paid or is it kind of a volunteering your time?
No, we're all paid. Thankfully, it's a very, like I said, dream job.
Yeah, it is a dream job for sure. The first time someone said to me, so you're a professional Dungeons and Dragons player. And I'm like, no, I'm not. They're like, are they paying you for it? I said, yes. And they're like, so you are. And I'm like,
by definition.
I was like, oh my God, I guess you're right. I don't know what to do with that. Everything. Yes.
The world is your oyster at that point. It's the lead of interactivity.
I know. I say this all the time. I was like, there are parts of my career now that if I had to explain them to myself 10 years ago, I would have no idea what I was talking about. Yeah.
You sit down for a production meeting. Like, I want to do a live D&D show. And you would just see that door slowly creep closed.
It's like, you can leave now.
The sad part is that Alex and I wanted to do that 10 years ago and nobody thought it was a good idea then.
Yeah.
People are like, no, the only thing people will watch online are 5-minute videos. You can't have anything longer than 5 minutes.
Right.
Psych.
It is amazing. It is amazing how much has changed where it's like, Critical Role with their Kickstarter. Yeah. I mean, they couldn't get a studio's attention. So they went to Kickstarter and absolutely blew the doors off the thing. I mean, this is again, being shown, you know, what the audience's real desire is sometimes. But yeah, it is funny to me how far we've come in that, like, we used to be in the TV world of like, everybody needs to be able to jump on every single episode. And it's like, yeah, and you get 40 minutes or you get 20 minutes and that's it, you know? And now it's just sort of like, no, we do a 4-hour show once a week and people come and watch the whole thing or they consume it every week and they want more. And it's just sort of like, yeah, I think it's episodic storytelling. It's that kind of epic storytelling of people, you know, where they feel so invested in so much. And I count myself as one. Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. So we're starting to round on time. I just want to take the last couple of minutes. If you guys have any beats that you want to hit, anything that you're looking forward to on the show, teasers or anything like that, we can breathe some life into that for the last couple of minutes. We can do some plugs to the show, socials.
Well, I would like to say that anybody that's hearing this and is curious about the show, tune in. We have talked about how much content we have, but do not feel like you have to start at the beginning. A lot of people enjoy starting from the beginning. And everything is available on YouTube or as an audio podcast. All you got to do is search for The Dungeon Run. But also, we did a 20-minute catch-up video that you can find called A Simple Recap. A Simple Recap. If you search for The Dungeon Run, A Simple Recap. You can also find it on jeffcanada.com. Real easy if you want to do that. It is 20 minutes. It'll catch you up. You'll be able to jump right into episode 62. And have what you need to know to jump right in with the players. You can also just jump right into any episode because we do a recap at the top for all the essential info as well. So don't be intimidated by the number of episodes or the number of hours of content. It really is a welcoming, wonderful community that I think anybody would benefit from joining. And I think you'll have fun with our show, even if you don't know Dungeons and Dragons at all.
Right. I've had plenty of friends and family who have given the show a shot because they hear, you know, that I'm loving it so much and have no idea about D&D, and then are entranced, are fully invested in a short amount of time. Even if there's a level of like, I don't totally know what's happening there, but like, this is amazing. Yeah.
It's very cool. And I'll be sure to take that the recap and plug it into the show notes so it's easily accessible to all the listeners here.
That would be amazing. Thank you.
Other than that, I really don't have any more questions. We really peeled back all the layers that I was interested in. Jeff, Morgan, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it could be a little hard to set aside some time. So thank you so much for coming and chatting with me.
Thank you for having us. Yeah,
it's a pleasure, Devin. Thank you so much, man. And I've listened to several of the other conversations you've had with wonderful folks. And yeah, this has been great. So thank you.
Awesome. So where amongst the social ether can we find both of you?
Go ahead, Martin.
I'm at on Twitter. I'm at Morgan Pete Brown. My name is one character too long for the Twitter name length. But yeah, you can find me on IMDb, Morgan Peter Brown. I'm on Instagram, Morgan Peter Brown. And yeah, I'm Dungeon Run. And yeah, that's my stuff.
Yeah. I am at Jeff Cannata on Twitter, which is spelled with two N's and one T. I do a lot of shows. I have a video game podcast, a movie podcast, a comedy science podcast. Check out any and all of them. I recommend it. You can find it all. JeffCannata.com is also a place that has links to that stuff. But really, really proud of the Dungeon Run. So you can find that caffeine.tv/thedungeonrun on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific time if you want to join the live show. Or like we said, as an audio podcast, anywhere you get podcasts, or on YouTube by searching for The Dungeon Run.
And listeners, be sure to tag both these guys on Twitter when you check out this episode and when you check out The Dungeon Run. So thank you again, gentlemen.
Thanks so much, man.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Bardic Babble. Bardic Babble is a part of the Bard Podcast Network's family of shows. You can find Bardic Babble and all of our other shows at thebardpodcast.com. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for updates on new episodes. We can't wait to share the next story with you.